Hey, everybody. On this episode of the Charlie Kirk Show, this is producer Andrew filling in for Charlie Kirk. He is putting the final touches on a rally featuring President Donald J. Trump. That J is important. You'll find out why. Donald J. Trump in Phoenix, Arizona, a rally to protect our election. So I got the honor to take over for him one more time. And it was an exciting show. I cover immigration, cover the left trying to cancel ICE. I cover the Delta variant. If you have questions about this Delta variant and vaccines and what's going on with this coordinated messaging that we can all feel, you're not going to want to miss this episode. Very important detail that we go over. Folks, don't panic. Don't panic. All right? And I'm going to explain why coming up on this episode. If this show means anything to you, if you come to it as a source of news, if you want to support the team that puts it on, please consider supporting us at charliekirk.com/support. Without further ado, buckle up. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
How did you choose which internet service provider to use? The sad thing is, most of us have very little choice because ISPs operate like monopolies in the regions that they serve. They then use this monopoly power to take advantage of customers. Data caps, streaming throttles, and the list goes on. But worst of all, many ISPs log your internet activity and sell that data onto other big tech companies or advertisers. To prevent ISPs from seeing my internet activity, I protect all my devices with ExpressVPN. So what is ExpressVPN? It's a simple app for your computer or smartphone that encrypts all your network data and tunnels it through a secure VPN server so that ISP cannot search or see any of your activity. ExpressVPN does all this without slowing down your connection. That's why I have it on all my devices. In fact, I just looked at it right now. So stop handing over all of your personal data to ISPs and tech giants who mine your activity and sell off your information. Protect yourself with expressvpn.com/charlie, expressvpn.com/charlie, to get 3 extra months free. Go to expressvpn.com/charlie right now to learn more.
This is producer Andrew Colvett filling in for Charlie Kirk as he makes final preparations for President Trump coming to a rally in Phoenix, Arizona. That's right. Charlie is working away, putting the final touches on a massive rally in Phoenix, Arizona. Charlie's calling it, but I like to say we, the royal we, are calling it a rally to protect our elections in Phoenix, Arizona. Guys, if you have not done so, you can go to turningpointaction.com and you can still register for that event. So if you are in the area, please do consider coming. It's first come, first serve, so it's not too late. I will say there's thousands of people that have already registered for the event. That's okay. Register anyways. Come get there early and we'll have you there. It's tpaction.com/rally. tpaction.com/rally. More important than ever to defend our elections. Just as a small aside, I mean, you guys all know this, but if you listen to this show, you know this. Everything that I'm going to talk about today is sort of irrelevant unless we protect our elections. Okay? So everything has to come back to that because we're not going to get the change we need unless we have secure, safe, transparent elections. And of course, we know that on this show, but we need to still ring the bell, bang the drum. Can't say it enough. So that is going to be a massive event. The president's going to speak around 3 o'clock Arizona time. We're going to have a pre-show starting around noon. I'm flying down there after the show. It's going to be great. So guys, get to Phoenix, register at tpaction.com/rally. Okay. I saw a report this morning that just, it really ticked me off. I'm not going to lie. I see a lot of reports that really tick me off, but this one in particular. So, I mean, everybody's been seeing that our border crisis is out of control. It's absolutely out of control. Our border crisis is absolutely out of control. Nevertheless, I see this headline from Hot Air, said the Democrats never gave up on abolishing ICE. And I thought, well, of course they haven't. But like, what's the news? Well, House Democrats are moving to gut Immigration and Customs Enforcement, the federal agency responsible for arresting and deporting illegal immigrants, amid a raging southern border crisis that has grown exponentially worse since President Biden took office. The House Appropriations Committee last week approved a plan to substantively make over the portion of ICE that deals with illegal immigration, known as Enforcement and Removal Operations, ERO, along with changes to how federal law enforcement officers would handle migrants. But progressive Democrats, some of whom called in 2018 for the outright abolishment of ICE, did not stop there. Now, I'm sure you guys will all remember the Abolish ICE campaign from 2018. They were blaming Trump for putting kids in cages, that he was akin to 1930s European tyrants and dictators and despots. We'll leave it at that. We don't say those kind of names on this show because they always get warped. They always get taken out of context. So let's just leave it at that. They were comparing him to those awful people in the 1930s Europe. And yet what we see is that they're completely silent on the border now that President Biden is in office. Absolute hypocrites. They don't really care about this. They're just weaponizing the border at every single step and pass. Okay. They were responding at that point to this vocal minority, AOC being one of them. So what they're doing, though, in part, and I'm going to make a very much more broader point. This is a little bit wonky, a little in the details, but it's important. As part of this proposal, their restructure the agency, they slashed an additional $331.6 million from the budget that funds detention facilities. That's right, detention facilities. So they're slashing that budget. And by the way, they've been moving migrants from detention facilities. They've been putting them on buses, planes, all over the country in the middle of the night, sending them to states far away from the border, so that we don't see him putting them in private care. The smaller budget will be used to fund nonprofits partnering with the government who will be awarded contracts to house them. This is a really smart move by the Biden administration because it gets rid of a PR disaster at the southern border. These detention facilities are gross. They're mismanaged. They are prone for photo ops by Republican elected officials who go down there and they basically say, hey, look at how disgusting this is. What happened to the kids in cages argument? No, nowhere to be seen. Okay, moving on. So what they're doing is they're getting rid of that and they're shipping them all over the place. I remember Charlie did a video, put it on his Instagram and all over social media of him just walking the streets of Phoenix, going to a hotel that looked like any other hotel, but that was one that was being used by the government to take immigrants off the border, illegal immigrants, border jumpers. Let's not use euphemistic terms here, folks. Let's not let the left call them economic migrants. No, that's not what they are. These are border jumpers that are defying our laws. And yes, some of them have sad stories, and I'm not trying to dehumanize them. But what I am trying to do is keep the argument centered where it needs to be centered and not to accept the premise of the left. These are not economic migrants. These are border jumpers. They are skipping ahead on the line. And by the way, I think there should be a much shorter line, but that's another discussion. They're skipping ahead of the lines. They are defying our laws. They're contributing to a culture of lawlessness, chaos, and deconstruction of our orderly Western system that has been one of the most, actually the most successful system in the history of the world. And they're trying, it's all part of a, and they're being allowed, by the way, this is being fueled. It's all part of a plan from the left to, well, let me not get ahead of myself. What is the plan? We're going to go there. I'm not holding back anything on this discussion because it's so frustrating. So here's the point. In February, Biden's acting head of ICE announced that officers would no longer be allowed to arrest illegal immigrants, including those convicted of crimes, unless they fit into a very, very narrow and specific category list. Very narrow. Between that and the new policy of simply shipping off illegal aliens into America's interior without court dates, the floodgates were open. All right. So we know that Biden, during his campaign, basically said, listen, we need a surge at the border of illegal immigration. Right. So that's in February. between that and this new policy of just simply shipping off illegal aliens into America's interior, we have a massive problem. And guess what? 60 days to a court date. That's what they're saying. They say 60 days, come back for your court date in 60 days. Guess what? The vast, vast majority never show up, of course. We have data on this now. So why did this tick me off so much? Why was I so peeved? Because there is a series, a waterfall of data now that should make the hair on the back of your neck stand up straight and should make you just, I mean, honestly, want to go protest outside of the White House. And I think we should. I think we should do this at the southern border. I think we need to get up in arms about it. And I think, you know, I think certain outlets like Fox have been hammering this home. Eventually, it just sort of becomes white noise. Eventually, it just sort of like rolls off and you don't see it for what it is anymore. It is being done despite the fact that the polling shows that Americans don't want this. You should absolutely have a moral and righteous indignation. So I want to go back, just a little trip down memory lane, folks. Clip 76. This is, you know, when we talk about immigration, how there's still literally a border crisis raging. And I've got a bunch of stats to back this up. I went down the rabbit hole this morning on immigration. I'm very passionate about immigration. I think it is the pathway to dissolving an otherwise peaceful and cohesive culture. I don't have anything wrong with immigrants on an individual basis. I love a lot of Hispanic people. They are in my life. I speak Spanish. I think a lot of them are amazing people, amazing Catholics. They have a love of, you know, the family. They're pro-life. All these things are true. Hardworking, all of this stuff. It's not just Hispanics, by the way, that are coming to this country in record numbers. It's obviously there's a massive Asian population that are also hard workers, very, very smart, organized cultures in general. But the point is, many are breaking our laws. There is a, you know, they say don't talk about replacement and all this kind of stuff. You know, Tucker went head on into this, and it was fairly amazing on his show. It was a courageous thing because they admit that's exactly what they're doing. And the same thing I was diving down, like I said, the rabbit hole this morning. And, the same thing's been true in the UK. They understand, the left understands, that when you bring low-skilled, poor immigrants into your country by the millions, they are going to vote for the party that gives them the free stuff. Simple. Simple. It's deconstructing our orderly society that is the most successful in the history of the world, and it is the most empowering, the most free. And so what they do is this is their agenda, and it's all rooted in critical theory, by the way, because they believe that this land was stolen. They believe that we are colonialists. They believe that we are imperialists. And so this is sort of giving the land back to the people that rightfully deserve it. And we, as the mean, oppressive overlords that have robbed this land and desecrated its land and putting factories on it and, you know, using its energy and things like this, we deserve to just open the borders and say, I'm sorry. This reminds me of that scene during BLM where this guy was rioting throughout the streets of L.A., went up to a woman filming her and said, you need to get on your knee and knees and apologize to me for your whiteness. And she did it. And this is what's happening. That's a microcosm of what's happening at our border. They literally believe that we deserve this. We deserve the chaos. We deserve to take this on the chin. We deserve for this to impact our communities. So let's go ahead and play this clip without further ado. And I want to remind you, this is who is in the Oval Office. Play clip.
First of all, the idea that Joe Biden said come, because I heard the other day that they're coming because they know I'm a nice guy and I won't do
they're
what
saying
Trump did.
This.
Yeah. Well, here's the deal. They're not. I would, in fact, make sure that we immediately surge to the border. All those people are seeking asylum.
That's right. So he's saying in 2021 in that clip, 2021, he's saying, oh, they're not coming because I'm a nice guy, whatever. Well, in 2019, he said, I want there to be a surge at the southern border. I want there to be a surge. Now, granted, he probably doesn't remember what he said. I think that's a valid point.
As you know, my friend Mike Lindell has a passion to help everyone get the best sleep of your life. He didn't stop by simply creating the best pillow. Mike created the new Giza Dream bed sheets. They look and feel great, which means an even better night's sleep for me, which is what's crucial for my busy schedule. Mike found the world's best cotton called Giza. It's ultra soft and breathable, but extremely durable. Mike's Giza sheets come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. The first night you sleep on Giza sheets, you will never want to sleep on anything else. Giza Dream sheets come in a variety of sizes and colors. Mike is making a special offer for my listeners. You'll receive two for the one low price plus free shipping. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the Radio Listener Square and use promo code Kirk. There you'll find not only this amazing offer, but also deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the MyPillow mattress topper, MyPillow towel sets, and so much more. Call 1-800-875-0425. Use the promo code Kirk. Go to MyPillow.com and make sure you use the promo code KIRK.
We're talking about immigration. I want to get into a couple of things here. I know, and Tucker had an amazing interview last night. That's actually not why I wanted to talk about this subject, but nevertheless, great interview last night that reinforces everything we're talking about. I want to go over a couple different stats here. At least 270,000 migrants have sneaked. I always thought it was snuck, but anyways, have sneaked into the U.S. and burrowed into communities across the country so far this fiscal year, according to the latest Border Patrol data. The Border Patrol is missing about 1,100 of them a day, said Sheriff Mark Daniels of Cochise County, Arizona. Hope I said that right. Cochise, who got his numbers directly from the agency. Cochise County, Arizona. 1,100 of them a day, said Sheriff Mark Daniels, who's getting that number again directly from Border Patrol. These are people, this is a quote, this should terrify you. These are people that are coming dressed head to toe in camouflage, being smuggled by cartels. Sheriff Daniels said, this is a public safety and national security risk to this country. That's 1,100 people coming into this country in camouflage clothing a day. You think back to the Trump administration when he was making a very public push to get groups like MS-13 out of this country, out of our communities, and we just have this open border policy all of a sudden where they're just walking in, and we are not defending Border Patrol. Instead, we're defunding ICE. Did you guys know that the number one agency in the United States that battles human trafficking is ICE? And this is what they want to get rid of. If this doesn't get you fired up, and again, I know that Fox plays this stuff, and hat tip to them, and Bill Malusian is doing a great job on the border for Fox. He's a great correspondent. He's doing great reporting. But I'm telling you, it becomes like white noise. But when you start thinking about this in real terms, it gets me so fired up. You think about this. Legal immigration alone into this country is every year is about the state of Montana. So we bring in the state of Montana every single year. Every 3 years, that's the state of Arkansas. So we're talking, I mean, when you just, these numbers become this roll off, okay? Think about it in real terms. Once or every year we bring in Montana, every 3 years Arkansas, and that's legal immigration. Now I want to play for you a clip from Tucker Carlson last night when he talks about this increase in illegal border crossers. This is cut 62, and he talks about this a fiscal year. It goes from 129,000 to 1,000,000. I just take this in. Cut 62.
So we checked the numbers because we felt obligated to do that. During this fiscal year, which began in October, more than 1,000,000 migrants have been apprehended along our border with Mexico. Those are just the ones that have been stopped. Most of them just kept going, of course. A year earlier, that number was 129,000. So you can see that's quite an increase.
That's quite an increase. And what it's doing is it's disenfranchising Americans. Let's go ahead and get this graph up. This is monthly Southwest border apprehensions by the U.S. Border Patrol. And I saw this is actually in a Bloomberg article this morning, which has a paywall, so whatever. You know, I used my tricky little internet sleuths to get me this data. The point is, the article was titled something that I thought was just you know, awful. Okay, so everybody knows that we had this great migration wave in the 80s and 90s, so the late 20th century. So we will, historians will record this as the great migration wave of the late 20th century. Okay, this is what we in many ways are living through in this country. We are living through the effects of this. You know, I remember when in the 80s, it was like, you know, the U.S. population about 250 million. I mean, it was just not that long ago. Now it's like 330, 340. And that's just the people that we know are in the country. And so these are apprehensions at the U.S. border. And the article was titled, "It's Back to the 1990s Along the Southern U.S. Border." Why that's really troubling to me is if you look at the 1990s, and this graph goes back to 1999, we see that it was about 200,000 or maybe slightly more border apprehensions. And I believe that's per month. And now we are back to that number again, roughly. We're still below it a little bit, but we're not even done with this year. Now, I want to show you another clip here, and this is the really terrifying clip. Cut 65. This is Don McLaughlin. He's a mayor of Uvalde, Texas. He's on Tucker, and he says that we're projecting well over 2 million. Now, let's go ahead and play cut 65.
Don McLaughlin is the mayor of the border town of Uvalde, Texas. He joins us to explain what he lives with, what his town lives with every single day. Mr. Mayor, thank you so much for coming on tonight. So that's an enormous number. They're projecting over 1.8 million foreign nationals in 1 year, all of them illegal. You're seeing this up close. What does it look like?
It's going to, that number's low in my opinion for what you're seeing. You're already at 1.2 million now. So by the end of the year, I think you're going to see well over 2 million in my own personal opinion.
They're showing this now famous image from Del Rio, Texas, and we actually put this on rumble.com. We clipped it as well. It's this very weird image at the border of these migrants, basically illegal immigrants, border jumpers, coming through what appears to be the border wall, a gate, and they're just walking through. They're just walking through, and there's border patrol agents. There's no rhyme or reason to this. They're just coming through. Well over 2 million. Now, I want to go back to something I said just a few minutes ago. Legally, in this country, we let in the state of Montana every year, the state of Arkansas every 3 years. And when we're talking about 2 million illegals, this is absolutely a disenfranchisement of the American citizen. And this is actually where Mr. McLaughlin of Uvalde takes this discussion with Tucker. I want to play cut 67. He says they're frustrated in his community because they're being told by the administration, social distance, wear your mask. But these people aren't even being asked if they're vaccinated. And it feels like, and I think so many of us feel like this, it's like we're not mad at these people per se. We're mad at our own government for encouraging it. But it feels like we're giving up our rights as Americans. Cut 67.
All these people from foreign countries breaking our laws to get here and then showered with benefits from the federal government that your citizens pay for. What do they think of that?
Well, they're getting frustrated. It's just, I mean, they're fed up with it. They're tired of it. It's just like the COVID situation that we're facing now. We're being told constantly by this administration, oh, social distance, wear your mask. But yet you've got 1.2 million people that have come across that southern border. They're not telling them, oh, wait a minute, have you been vaccinated? Have you been anything? And this is what we do. It seems like we're giving up our rights as U.S. citizens to accommodate foreign illegal immigrants coming into our country.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And it's very frustrating, I can tell you. I can tell you as somebody who lives in California, who has seen the effects of illegal immigration, just that from a demographic standpoint, sure, but just from a cultural cohesion standpoint, from a rule of law standpoint. And again, you meet them one-on-one. These are great people, folks. I'm not making any accusations about the human beings themselves. I'm talking about it when you take it on the macro level. And guess what? These elites that push this crap, they don't care about where you have to send your kids to school, whether or not any of the kids will speak English like your kid does. Because guess what? They've got the money to send them to the private school, you know, behind the big gate. It's a, you know, elite prep school where they don't have to worry about such things. It's your school that's going to be impacted the most by these types of policies. So I want to talk about this. Is this something that Americans support? So it's a great question. So I just today there was an article by Jordan Williams from thehill.com, very mainstream outlet. Americans divided on whether to increase immigration levels, Gallup. I thought, Gallup thinks that we're split on this? Very misleading headline. Very misleading headline. And by the way, that's what's so frustrating about the media these days. It's because they're going to give you a headline like this, and you're just going to take it, and you're going to move on and be like, man, how are we divided on something that should be so simple, cut and dry? But we're not. So look at this carefully. 33% of respondents said that immigration levels should be increased. Okay, so put that in one bucket. About a third of Americans think that we should be increased. While 31% said immigration should be decreased, another 35% said immigration should be kept at its present levels. So what that actually means is about 66% of Americans don't want more immigration. So remember, let's take you back to the headline. Americans divided on whether to increase immigration levels. Gallup. No, we're not. 66% don't want increased immigration. That's not divided. That's a landslide. Those are amazing numbers. And by the way, independent voters, very much on the side of at least keeping it the same, but many are saying decrease it. 57% of Republicans want to see immigration decreased.
Legacy Box is a super simple mail-in service to have all of your videotapes, camcorder tapes, film reels, and pictures digitally preserved on a thumb drive, DVD, or the cloud. Are your family's memories trapped on an old camcorder tape or film reel? What are your favorite childhood memories that have been caught on film or videotape? Do you have an easy way to watch them? Do you need to rescue your recorded memories but haven't had the time or know where to start? I could tell you right now that there's tons of antiquated media out there. And I could tell you personally, when I got Legacy Box, I knew it was for me. I sent it in, and you get it back easily. Legacy Box is the world's largest digitizer of home movies and photos that has helped over 850,000 families digitally preserve their past. If you think that things came before you matter, then preserve your past. Go to legacybox.com/Kirk to get an incredible 40% off right now. Buy today to take advantage of this exclusive offer. Go to legacybox.com/Kirk, legacybox.com/Kirk.
Okay, so this is a story I've been really excited to get to. It involves Charlie, so I feel like it's fitting. CNN, be careful who you send an email to. Now, Charlie probably would have, I don't know if he would have covered this on his own show. I'm here. I get to talk about Charlie all I want. Okay, so let's go to Cup 73. This is Charlie went on Tucker Carlson's show this week, because he got a very funny email, and Tucker describes it here, 73.
But as a channel, CNN shouldn't have a position on whether you should take medicine or not, because it's a news channel. It's not a health agency. And yet yesterday, the bureau chief in Washington at CNN sent an internal email with the subject line, "A majority of unvaccinated Americans say they're unlikely to get the COVID-19 vaccine." So in response to that, the bureau chief wrote this to a colleague, quote, "This is the point about carrot versus stick. The carrot is no longer going to work, ...
The carrot is no longer going to work, ... Now, I will tell you, folks, Charlie sent me the email. I saw it. It's pretty funny. It's from Sam Feist. He is the CNN's Washington, D.C. bureau chief, and he accidentally sent this to another colleague and to Charlie. And they're talking about this carrot versus the stick. This is a very troubling email, because we have, you know, one of CNN's chief medical reporters, this or correspondents, whatever, Lena Well. Charlie makes a really, really good point, because he's getting this internal messaging from CNN sent to him, and it basically outlines that those of us who have not been vaccinated yet, myself included, I actually had COVID the old-fashioned way, and I still do have antibodies, and you probably do too, by the way. That's what the studies are showing. The point is, they're saying that they're not going to get COVID, they're not going to get the vaccine regardless of the outreach that happens. And here's what they're talking about. I think this is all part of a longer conversation that's happening inside the halls of CNN and on these emails and these messaging boards. Listen to Lena Wen. This woman is just a former head of Planned Parenthood, by the way. She's a real piece of work. Talking about carrot and stick, listen to her. Cut 78.
Right, I think it depends on the circumstance. So if you're going to the grocery store and the grocery store doesn't have the capacity to enforce some kind of proof of vaccination, then they have to say that indoor masking needs to apply because we don't know who's vaccinated and who's not. The same thing for schools. Schools, you can't expect the teacher in every school to be asking, well, you're not wearing a mask, so are you vaccinated or not? And so if that's the case, everybody should be wearing masks. But I could imagine there are already concert venues or workplaces that are saying, if you are not vaccinated, you can't come, or you have to get a negative test. And that's what's needed in order to really incentivize vaccines at this point.
Yeah, this is what we call, and this is what Charlie's called, medical apartheid. Now, they hate when I say that. They hate when Charlie says that. But it's just, it's putting the haves and the have-nots. It's segregating folks into different buckets based on their vaccine status. And I'm sorry, but I don't want to be lectured on saving lives by a genocidal abortionist. Okay? I'm sorry, but she lost the moral high ground to talk to me about saving lives a long time ago. This is what happens when CNN accidentally copies Charlie Kirk on an email that was meant for an internal audience, right? This has gone everywhere. I've seen this on a bunch of the blogs, a bunch of the chat sites. Anyways, people are loving this. Just some fairly high profile folks on Twitter have just been tweeting about it. So backstory here is we're in Tampa. I get this text from Charlie. He goes, oh, you know, I can't believe this just happened. Like CNN just copied me on an email they weren't supposed to copy me on. And it's pretty explosive stuff. So we played this already, and I want you guys to hear it again here. 73. This is Tucker. So Charlie goes on Tucker Carlson to explain this story. Cut 73. Tucker explains this message, the carrot versus the stick. Go ahead and play it.
But as a channel, CNN shouldn't have a position on whether you should take medicine or not, because it's a news channel. It's not a health agency. And yet yesterday, the bureau chief in Washington at CNN sent an internal email with the subject line: a majority of unvaccinated Americans say they're unlikely to get the COVID-19 vaccine. So in response to that, the bureau chief wrote this to a colleague, quote, "This is the point about carrot versus stick. The carrot is no longer going to work, ...
So that's Sam Feist. He is CNN's Washington, D.C. bureau chief. And he says this is the point about people that aren't going to get the vaccine. It's like, and we say this all the time on this show, we're not anti-vax. Very clear. We're not anti-vaccine. And I think most old school vaccines are like kind of no-brainers in a lot of ways. Now, there's some debate about when they combine vaccinations and they force it on young children. I'm not going to get into any of that. OK, but normally speaking, what they call an old school vaccine is a live attenuated, which means weakened, vaccine. This is an mRNA vaccine. It's more experimental. There's a lot of talk about the spike proteins, whether they're actually cytotoxins, whether they spread throughout the body. We also know that VAERS, the vaccine adverse event reporting system, they reported a massive increase, a doubling of reported deaths from the vaccine from 6,000 to 12,000. Now they retracted it. We can't find it. You have to get the archived version of that website up, which is a massive scandal, actually. And nobody's talking about it because you're not allowed to ask questions about a vaccine in America anymore. I don't know if you heard me right there. Sometimes you have to say these things twice. They went from 6,000 deaths from the vaccine to 12,000 deaths, and now it's not there on the website anymore. Ask yourself why. So anyways, now we've got this CNN internal memo. They're spreading this across apparently their entire network of reporters saying, hey, people have already had a chance to get the vaccine. If they haven't gotten vaxxed, they're not going to get vaxxed because they don't want to get vaxxed. Okay? So this bureau chief, Sam Feist, says, this is the point, re-carrot versus stick. The carrot is no longer going to work, ... This ominous ... And they sent this to Charlie, who, as you know, if you listen to this show at Turning Point USA, they launched a campaign called No Forced Vax. I recommend everybody check it out, tpusa.com/vax. There you'll get some facts. You can get some pamphlets. You can get some signage to protest at your school. And basically the whole point of the campaign is a national campaign pushing back against forced vaccinations for college kids, which is one of the most healthy cohorts in the entire society, if not the most healthy cohort. Their death rates from COVID they're infinitesimally small, and yet we're forcing vaccinations on these kids. So let's go to cut 74. This is Charlie responding to Tucker's intro, his lead-in. Hear it in Charlie's own words about how he took this email. 74.
Charlie, thanks so much for coming out. What does this reveal, do you think, about that news channel?
Well, I think this is one of the few mistakes that CNN has made that's actually really helpful. Is it CNN's stated position now that they're going to try to administer medicine under the threat of punishment? You know, the analogy carrot versus stick is used usually when talking about incentives. What is the best way to compel human beings to get to a desired objective? And is it CNN's position now that if someone decides to refuse to get the vaccine like I have, that I'm going to come under some sort of punishment? What does that mean? What does the stick look like?
What does the stick look like? You know, on college campuses, they were this idea of in Arizona State, right? At Arizona State University, for example. This is one instance I know well because we raised, you know, pardon my French here, holy hell against this just ridiculous stipulation by the university where they were saying, well, okay, listen, if you haven't gotten vaxxed, we're just going to force you to submit to COVID tests, random, asymptomatic, so you're exhibiting no symptoms, and yet we're going to force you to get a COVID test, and it's going to be random. Secondly, even outside, you're going to have to wear a mask. It doesn't matter. Even if it's 115 degrees, I don't care if you have to walk 2 miles between classes, you're going to be wearing a mask in 115 degree heat. You can't study abroad. You can't live at the dorms. Basically, their whole plan was to make it so onerous that the stick was so painful that you would eventually submit. Doesn't matter if you are the healthiest cohort in the country, in the world. It doesn't matter if your chances of dying from COVID are so infinitesimally small that renders the usefulness of a vaccine basically nothing. It doesn't matter if you have other health conditions. And we talked about this on the podcast. We had Olivia Sandor from BYU over in Hawaii that lost her scholarship because she's actually medically vulnerable if she gets the vaccine. She's lost $200,000 worth of scholarship money because of the vaccine. And she boldly and courageously took a stand. Now this gets to a bigger point though. Think about the series of events that you just watched happen. So CNN sends out this internal memo of a poll talking about Americans that have not gotten the vaccine and if they're open to being sort of coerced, incentivized, poked, prodded to actually get the jab. And they say no. The majority say no. It doesn't matter what you do. I'm not getting vaccinated with this COVID-19 vaccine. So the Washington, D.C. bureau chief then says the carrot's not working. It's time to go to the stick. And then what do we see? We see this almost like coordinated effort. Folks, if you're paying attention, the messaging has shifted. Cut 76. This is Charlie talking about this coordinated experience. Cut 76.
Why all of a sudden in the last 48 hours has there been this almost coordinated effort of people on the establishment center right kind of virtue signaling and telling every single person to get vaccinated while we're starting to see this kind of disturbing increase of activity on the VAERS database? And we're seeing story after story, not to mention what Dr. Robert Malone has said on your program and Dr. Brett Weinstein. And so I think what we have here is mission creep of certain institutions that think they're supposed to do things that they really aren't. And Tucker, I'm glad I received this email because we got an inside look into what CNN's trying to do in this regard to public health, and it's very disturbing.
That's right. It's an inside look. CNN sends an email accidentally to Charlie Kirk saying, hey, guess what? The carrot's not working. It's time to go to the stick. And meanwhile, we have one of their chief sort of medical experts come on saying, you know, we need to force mask mandates and these people just aren't doing what we're telling them. We tried the nice way. It's time to use the stick. What do you think the stick is, folks? What do you actually think the stick could be? Now, I don't know if you've noticed it. I certainly have, as somebody that is part of their day job is to pay attention to the news cycle. I have noticed a disturbing coordinated effort across media. It doesn't matter, center right, center left right, people talking about the vaccine. And it felt like a fairly controlled opposition, not controlled opposition, this is the wrong way to say it. There felt like a pretty substantial opposition to vax mandates. Felt like there was a chorus growing, led certainly by Tucker and Charlie and other voices that were saying, listen, you don't get to tell me what to do with my health. You do not get to tell me what to do with an experimental medicine that we're still finding out about the long-term consequences. Now, again, we have always been consistent. We're not saying we're pro-vax. We're not saying we're anti-vax. We're just saying here for COVID, I'm actually pro-vaccines in a general sense, the live attenuated old school version. I'm saying on this particular vaccine, I'm agnostic. But what I am absolutely 100% against is a vaccine mandate. And now what we're seeing is this chorus. It's building. It's like, and it goes back to what you saw with this internal memo that was sent across CNN's network. They're saying it's not working anymore. This carrot is not working. Doesn't matter what we do. It doesn't matter how we poke and prod. They're not going to get the vaccine. Doesn't matter if we go door to door. It doesn't matter if we give them hamburgers. It doesn't matter if we enter them in lotteries. They're not going to get the vaccine. Well, guess what? We're going to get the stick out. We're going to make it so onerous. We're going to make it so hard for you to live a normal life without the vaccine that eventually you're going to submit and you're going to do what you're told, because guess what? Your betters are demanding it of you. Folks, this is scary stuff. And if you don't think that the media is in cahoots, if you don't think that they're coordinating their activities, think again. This email is an inside picture into what exactly is going on and how the swamp, say so swampy, they send this out and they think they know better for you and your life and your family.
Did you get hit with a big tax bill you weren't expecting? With rates being very low and home equity being high, perfect time to refinance. Look, we're all about refinancing all this. Here's the long and short of it. You should not be giving business to bad companies. So if you're using Goldman Sachs, bad company. Wells Fargo, bad company. JP Morgan, bad company. All these companies, they love BLM. They hate America. And quite honestly, if you're listening to this program, they hate you. And so if you want to take out a loan, here's what I'm going to tell you what to do. Maybe you're a new family. You're like, I want to buy a house and it's my dream house and I want to take out a loan. The good news is that there are partners called Andrew and Todd, Andrew Del Rey and Todd Avakian, andrewandtodd.com. Just save that in your notes, by the way. Just save it in the notes of your phone because you might need it. Like, I don't need it. My banker at Goldman Sachs is just fine. Or my banker at Bank of America is just fine. Like, okay. And then when you go take that loan and you go sign those 95,000 pieces of paper they give you, you know what you're really signing? You're signing contribution forms to BLM Incorporated. That's what you're doing. When you go take out a loan with Chase, when you go take out a loan with Wells Fargo, you might as well go give the money to Joe Biden. So when you go to D.C. next and you go travel maybe with your family, why don't you just get a cashier's check and drop it off at the White House entrance? That's what you're doing when you bank with these woke losers at Wells Fargo. So take out a loan with the good guys. It's Andrew and Todd. Look, they're just great people. They're Christians. They love the Lord. They love America. And you call them up and just say, I want to speak to Andrew and Todd. That's all you have to say. Charlie Kirk sent me. And their number is 888-888-1172. That's andrewandtodd.com, andrewandtodd.com, 888-888-1172. You go to andrewandtodd.com, 888-888-1172, and say, you should make a vow to yourself. Just make a promise to yourself. I refuse to fund companies that hate America. I refuse to fund companies that hate America. And you have a choice. If you want to take out a loan or just explore the idea of refinancing, andrewandtodd.com, call 888-888-1172. I go out to eat with these guys. They're terrific. They're good people. AndrewandTodd.com.
All right, so I want to get into this Delta variant. I've been looking at it quite a bit this morning. First, we covered immigration. Now we're talking Delta variant. And I want to I'm going to play a couple of clips here first. I think it's important to hear people in their own words. You can feel and hear and see within the media, the news media, and the establishment media specifically, of people all of a sudden pushing this vaccine. Now, I think part of it is in good faith because they're also part of their own echo chambers and they're hearing, oh, Delta variant spreading everywhere, hot spots, people putting, you know, mask mandates back in place, cases surging, hospitals surging. And I think they're saying, like, hey, you know, I don't want to be part of the, I get that. I get that. But you got to think more critically than that. But anyways, I'm going to play cut 77. This is Joe Biden thanking Fox News for encouraging viewers to get the vaccine. Go ahead and play cut 77.
What do you think of the Republicans and Fox News changing their tune on the vaccine?
Well, rather than be critical of it, I thank them for it. I think it's a matter of, I think once the realization occurred that this virus was only killing primarily those people who had not been vaccinated, I think it was sort of, as we Catholics say, a bit of an epiphany for them. You know, it was a, like, a, you know, conversion on the way to Damascus or something. But
funny about that road to Damascus, we Catholics. There's actually a story on the Catholic Church and Speaker Pelosi. But anyways, he's claiming this Catholic thing. Now let's hear him speak some utter trash, some garbage. So he's thanking Fox News, which is actually probably having the inverse effect. It's probably now going to, it's going to go full circle. So if, you know, some people are like, ah, Fox News now is encouraging it and Mitch McConnell's encouraging the vaccine, well, maybe I'll consider it. Then they hear Joe Biden say, hey, thanks, Fox News. And then those same people who are considering going, well, now if Biden's telling me to do it, I'm not going to do it. Okay, so let's go ahead and play cut 79. This is absolute garbage. The town hall was an utter disaster. This his point on inflation was just, I mean, incredibly ridiculous. It was just the stupidest thing I've ever heard from the mouth of a president ever. And we've had some whoppers, folks. But I digress. We're talking about vaccines. We're talking about COVID. Let's go ahead and play cut 79. This is called fake news. This is a lie, folks. Cut 79.
The various shots that people are getting now cover that. You're okay. You're not going to get COVID if you have these vaccinations.
Yeah.
So you're not going to get COVID if you have vaccinations? Well, what about the Texas Democrats that just went to D.C. on a private plane without masks and some Miller Lite? Did they just have sort of like a super spreader stunt that they pulled? Cut 68. We talk about that. And by the way, they don't have any regrets. Let's go ahead and play cut 68.
With respect to the recent COVID outbreak, would this have happened if we had stayed home? Do we regret coming to D.C.?
We don't regret coming to D.C. at all. It was very important to protect the freedom to vote.
The gall of that man. We don't regret it at all. Even though 6 of 17 of our the people that flew on a private jet together with Miller Lite got COVID and they were all fully vaccinated. Okay, so literally what you heard from Joe Biden is medical misinformation. I hope they tweet that. I hope Twitter flags it. They won't. I hope Facebook flag. I hope he gets 4 Pinocchios. I hope he gets the whole gamut. And you know what? I hope Twitter suspends the president's account for putting the lives of Americans at risk. This is utter nonsense. I don't understand how he's getting away with it. Actually, I do understand how he's getting away with it. But listen, we here at this show are going to keep him accountable. We are going to hold this BS from him. Sorry, excuse me, folks. I obviously understand what that stands for, and I apologize. This garbage, we are going to hold him accountable. He's saying you don't get the if you get the vaccine, you don't get COVID. Well, we know that's not true. As a matter of fact, there's Alex Berenson. He's been doing some great tweeting on this. He's a good follow on Twitter. I definitely recommend you check him out. So he's well past it. He's like, on the vaccines, I'm reading from him right now. He said, the bull case is now, sure, they don't stop transmission, but they decouple cases from deaths. He continues, say it's true. Then why push vaccinations on those at low risk? Who cares about case counts? The elderly are vaccinated and as protected as they can be. It's over. Okay, are you tracking his rationale? He's just saying, listen, if the whole thing is to avoid deaths, young people, anybody basically under 50, by the way, is at such a low risk of dying from COVID, even Delta variant, which, by the way, folks, don't give in to the panic. Everything that we can see from the Delta variant, it may be more transmissible, but there is zero evidence to indicate that it is more deadly. Let me repeat that. It may be more transmissible, but there is zero evidence to indicate that it is more deadly. So this is why we are calling this the case-demic. So yes, cases are going up. We've seen certain states, cases are certainly going up. But guess what, folks? Deaths are not tracking. Now, they want to give a lot of credit to the vaccine, and I will say I probably give some credit to the vaccine. As Alex Berenson is saying here, yes, the vaccine of elderly people is probably staving off some of those deaths, those counts going up. But young people don't die from it anyways. Okay, so now he continues. Case two, the bear case. Of course, is that protection against serious cases and deaths is already dropping and continues to do so. In that case, this is him, why push anyone to get vaccinated? To buy them months of protection when we don't even know if repeated boosters will be tolerated? Okay, so listen to that. Repeated boosters, right? So a lot of people are asking, are we going to have to get boosters for this? Well, if you look at the University of California system, they're already basically admitting that. This is from the University of California. This is a internal memo, and it's outlining their COVID policies. And it's a question and answer. It's a frequently asked questions section of this document. Is this a one-time mandate, or will I be required to get boosters or annual shots? They said this is a permanent policy. Infectious disease experts anticipate that annual or more frequent boosters will be necessary, and receipt of boosters will be required, consistent with product labeling, in the same way that the initial vaccination is required by this policy and subjected to the same exceptions and deferrals. Okay, so in California, in order to go to school at a UC school, you have to get the COVID vaccine, even though you were at like 0% chance of dying. Obviously, it's not zero. There's some like fraction, infinitesimally small decimal point somewhere back there that would need to be in place. Okay, so it's not exactly zero, but it's effectively zero. If you get COVID and you're 19 at UC Berkeley, you're probably going to be fine, okay, unless you have some other underlying health condition, in which case, I think your calculus on the vaccine or whether or not you should take it should be much different. This is why we are calling it the case-demic. Now, I want to go into, so where are we at on these cases? So the U.S. is reporting an average of about 43,700 new cases per day over the past week. Now, I don't know if that sounds like a lot to you or a little to you. To me, it doesn't sound like that much. This is a respiratory spread virus. But we're going to give you the truth here. I'm not going to hide if it's up. It certainly does seem to be up, and it's probably because the Delta variant, as I said before, is slightly more transmissible. But that's far below pandemic heights. Okay, but it's still up 65% over the previous 7 days. So this is what is causing all of this consternation, this feeling of coordination. And this is why I give some of my friends over at Fox a little bit of grace. I think they're seeing the numbers and they're just failing to interpret them the right way. Louisiana, Arkansas, Missouri, Florida, and Nevada are reporting the highest daily average of new cases per capita over the past week, all of which are at least double the U.S. rate. So this is where they're going with this. They say each of these states have below average vaccination rates. below average vaccination rate. So this is the new line. They're saying, if you don't get vaccinated, look at your state. It's going to erupt in this and that. They're really trying to stick this to DeSantis. And they're saying, oh, DeSantis, you thought you won the pandemic. You thought you beat the pandemic. Well, hey, it's coming back with a vengeance. And because you celebrated too soon, you spiked the football on the 2-yard line. Well, that's not, I don't think that's actually true. So this is the point. It's a case-demic. Track with me here, folks. Deaths aren't ticking up at a rate consistent with the supposed rise in cases. The current 7-day average, there's been 223 deaths. The prior 7-day average, 207 deaths. Okay? So even though cases are going up, deaths are only slightly ticking up. Now, every death is tragic. I'm not saying they're not, but we have to keep these things in perspective, folks. We have to keep these numbers and these ideas in perspective. Take this into consideration. Every day, 1,800 people die of heart disease. 1,640 of cancer. 470 by accident. 430 of chronic lower respiratory disease. 410 of stroke. 330 of Alzheimer's. And get this, according to the CDC, the current 7-day average of deaths from COVID-19 are 223. So I took part of that from our friend Ben Shapiro, I have to say, but I tweaked it because he says it's 324. The CDC's own website says it's 223, so I'm not sure where he got his number. Credit where it's due. Nevertheless, 1,800 people die of heart disease every day, folks, in this country. We get 223 from COVID, and we're going to mask all our children at 2 years old. And by the way, that's called child abuse. All right, so I just want everybody to keep things in perspective and not panic. Case-demic does not equal pandemic. Just because people are getting the coronavirus does not mean they are dying from it or to being hospitalized. Now, hospitalizations are slightly up. Deaths are slightly up. This is not the end of the world, okay? I want to get to a story because we touched on it, and actually one of Joe Biden's own clips where he's thanking Fox News for helping him get out the word on the vaccine, right? This is a statement from San Francisco Archbishop Salvatore J. Cordiglione in response to House Speaker Nancy Pelosi defending efforts to permit federal funding of elected abortions. This is a scathing statement, by the way. And then I want to get into the Cleveland Guardian, story. We're very limited time here, but these are two things that I have to cover. Listen to this statement. Let me repeat. Okay, so Joe Biden's quoting his Catholicism in a clip ago, and he's saying, the Republicans and Fox News are having their road to Damascus moment. Their conversion moment. Let me repeat, no one can claim to be a devout Catholic and condone the killing of innocent human life, let alone have the government pay for it. The right to life is fundamental, the most fundamental human right. And Catholics do not oppose fundamental human rights. To use the smokescreen of abortion as an issue of health and fairness to poor women is the epitome of hypocrisy. What about the health of the baby being killed? What about giving poor women real choice so they are supported in choosing life? This would give them fairness and equality to women of means who can afford to bring a child into the world. Folks, he goes on for a few more sentences, and it is amazing. This is good for this man. This is good for Archbishop Salvatore J. Cordiglione, and he's putting Nancy Pelosi to shame. And frankly, this whole same debate has been going on with Joe Biden, who's, you know, as a Catholic, I support the right for the government to help pay to kill babies. It's an absolutely idiotic take, and good for the Catholics for getting it right. I'm very, very encouraged by my Catholic friends. We've got this Cleveland Indian story. It's cut 61. Listen to this Cleveland Indians promo. Just play a couple seconds of it, folks. 61, this is the Cleveland Indians announcing their new name change to the Guardians.
We are a city on the rise, forging into the future from our ironed-out past. And now it's time to unite as one family, one community, to build the next era for this team and this city, to keep watch and guard what makes this game the greatest, to come together and welcome all who want to join us. We are loyal and proud and resilient,
Together we stand with all who understand what it means to be born and built from the land. Because this is the city we love and the game we believe in. And together, we are all Cleveland Guardians.
Welcome to the Cleveland Guardians, folks. All hell's breaking loose. Up is down, right is left. I don't know what's going on. What a terrible name. Thanks, everybody, for joining us at the Charlie Kirk Show. If you want to join us at the rally to protect our elections featuring Donald J. Trump, please go to tpaction.com/rally. It's not too late if you were listening to this even on Saturday morning. It doesn't matter. Register for that event. Get in line. Get there early. First come, first serve. We will see you soon, hopefully in Phoenix. Thanks for tuning in. Talk to you next time.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.